Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
So, tonight's reading is interesting. In fact, it's probably one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. But it's about a meal with Jesus. And we've been in the Gospels for the last year and a half, and how many times has our reading been about a meal? There's always food with Jesus, always. I mean, there's so many different stories in the Gospel where Jesus is eating food. Have you noticed that? I mean, you could probably think, tell me some stories that you can think of right now about Jesus where he's eating food. Anybody know something? Just one.
The wedding.
The wedding at Cana. His first miracle is where people are getting drunk, okay, at a feast, at a big wedding feast. So the wedding at Cana. Anything else? What'd you say?
Feeding
5,000. Huge miracle. But it's food. It's tons and tons of food. Anything else?
Eating with the Pharisees.
Yeah, eating. Absolutely. When she came in and cried on his feet, he's eating at a table. It didn't just happen out on the street. It happened at a table. Anything else? There's tons of examples of Jesus eating food. He goes to Zacchaeus' house. He says, I'm coming to your house for dinner. He's always eating. At his last night, before he's crucified, he sits down and has a meal with his disciples. And instead of giving them, we've talked about this before, instead of giving them a manual or giving them, he didn't give them a Bible. I don't know if you realize that, but he didn't hand them a Bible and say, read these words, you'll be fine. He didn't give them a conference. He didn't give them, you know, a church booklet on how to do church. He gave them a meal. He said, here's my meal. I want you to do this over and over and over again, and I want you to remember me as you do it. And there's even more. If you look in Luke's gospel, in Luke 7:34, Jesus said this, the Son of Man, so he's talking about himself, came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So people on the streets, this was the buzz about Jesus on the streets, that guy's a glutton and a drunkard. Why? Because he's always eating with people. He's always having a meal. Jesus is always connecting with people around a table. And then later in Luke 13, when Jesus is describing his kingdom in the very end, not heaven, but life after heaven, when God's kingdom comes to earth in all of its fullness, he says it looks like this. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Some translations say they will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. How crazy is that? Jesus, somehow, in all of his life and even in the words that he says, this idea of a meal and this idea of his kingdom come together. Somehow, the table and the kingdom are really, really connected. And it's super important to Jesus that we understand what this means and why this was so important. So the question that I have for us tonight is when we think about this meal, this bread and this cup, do you think this meal is important? Honestly, think about it. Do you think it's important? Do you think it's something that we should do? Do you think it's something that we should do every week? Do you think it's something that you miss if you don't get to receive it? Do you think this meal is important? Because Jesus seemed to think that it was. And Jesus seemed to really, really emphasize it. And so that's why for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the Eucharist, because we believe that this meal is really, really important. But we all have different ideas about what this meal is, right? So some people joke with me because I say the table a lot, like we're going to come to the table. And Patrick was like, what's the table? Can we just take a time out? Like, I don't understand what the table is, okay? When I say the table, I mean coming to take communion together. Some of you may have grown up understanding it as communion. Some of you may have heard it as the Lord's Supper. That's what I always heard my parents say, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Or maybe you've heard it as Eucharist, which is what we call it here sometimes, which is just a Greek word, which means Thanksgiving. They all mean the same thing, but we've already got four different words, okay, to describe this same thing. We're already confused on what it's called. And then think about the ways that you've taken this meal before, okay? So if you went to church at all growing up, then you've probably experienced this, and some of us pass the plate. Who passed the plate in the room when you're, yeah, okay, so the plate would come to you and you take a little piece and you grab it, and then some of us would walk forward like we're going to do later tonight, and you'd receive a piece and go back to your, you know, wherever you're sitting. Some of us would take those wafers, like those little plastic tasting wafers. Do you remember those? Like they just kind of gum up your mouth and you're like, ugh. And then some of us took the little crackers. Do you remember those? Like you could choke on them, the little crackers, if you inhaled them. That was my experience. Some of us would drink from a big common cup. You have that experience before? If you're not ready for that, that can be really scary, okay? So everybody's drinking from it and then they just wipe it and go, you ready? And you're like, ah. Or when I was growing up, we always had the little plastic cups, right? They would pass around the little plastic cups. Somehow I feel like the silver cup is a little bit more reverent than the little plastic cups that we just throw away at the end of the night. But we all do this differently. Every single one of us have done this in so many different ways. And that's just how we did it. That's not even why we did it. That's not even the meaning behind it. And so I think we all have different ideas of what communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist actually means. And here's what I think most of them are. Typically, we either believe that it's a history lesson. Okay, so it's just something that we do and we come here and as we take it, it's like we're in history class again and we're going to reenact. It's like, you know, like reenacting a Civil War battle or something. We're just going to reenact it to remember what Jesus did and we're going to think about it. Or maybe for you, it was a guilt trip. Okay, this was always a guilt trip. And so you had to think really hard about all your sins and you had to confess every single sin because if you come up here and you take the bread and the cup and you haven't confessed every sin, you might die, like right there in the moment. So this is a big guilt trip, okay? And I thought about doing that tonight because it's hot. So I'm like, let's crank the heat up and just make everybody sweat. We'll talk about hell and we'll be great. We'll have a big guilt trip. So for some of us, communion, when we grew up, it was a magic trick, okay? And so you'd say this certain formula of words and we kind of wave our hands and all of a sudden, poof, something miraculous happens and our sins can be forgiven through this act. For some of us, it was a big magic trick. And for some of us, it's just simply a habit. It's just something we do. And if I asked you, why do we take communion? You say, I don't know. We just do. That's what Christians do. Maybe somebody explained it a long time ago, but we haven't really understood what that explanation is for a long time. So if we're confused on what this is with all these different definitions and ideas, I want to give us something that we can hold on to. I want to give us a definition that we can explore for the next 3 weeks. So here it is. This is really simple. The Eucharist is Jesus' meal of mystery, memory, and mission. That's what this is. It's the meal of Jesus, and it involves mystery, memory, and mission. All three at the same time, wrapped up together. Now, we're not going to be able to talk about all three tonight. We're just going to be able to talk about one. So we're going to focus on the idea of this being a meal of mystery tonight. And that's really, really important because I believe very powerfully, and we believe as a church, that when we come to the table, we experience a moment of mystery. About 2 years ago, I was mowing my lawn, and that's not the last time I mowed my lawn, but it was a profound experience. So I was mowing my lawn, and I finished, and I was grabbing my lawnmower, and I was dragging it up to the garage, and I was sweating. It was a really hot day. And all of a sudden, I had this really crazy moment where I was standing in my yard, and I looked out over the grass, and I realized somehow in this crazy moment that my dad was with me. And I remembered being a kid in my dad's yard, which was our yard. And I remember him sending us out every Saturday to go mow the lawn, me and my brothers, go do everything. He'd give us donuts first, which was the worst idea ever for teenagers. Like we'd be gung-ho for 5 minutes and then we'd be like, this is terrible, I hate this. So we'd, you know, fall apart and crumble in the Florida humidity and we would just hate every minute of it. And my dad, when we would come inside, would say, get back out there and finish it because a job worth doing is worth doing right. He would say that to us over and over, and it just infuriated me every time he said it because it meant you're not done. It meant get back to work. And what he meant by it was don't cut corners, okay? I want you to mow it, but I want you to edge it. I want you to weed eat it. I want it to look like it should look because a job worth doing is worth doing right. And so 2 years ago when I stood in my lawn, I looked at my yard and I went, oh my gosh, I just did it. I didn't even think about it, but I did that. And I did the job right. And somehow, mysteriously, my dad was present with me in that moment. And I could sense that he was proud looking at what I was looking at. And then something even crazier happened because my son, Jude, came around the corner. And he was 3 at the time. And so he's going, Daddy, Daddy, can I help you with this? Can I help you? And he's 3. So he can't really help you mow the lawn and use power tools. But of course, you say, yeah, absolutely. So I give him a rake and he's, you know, just kind of dragging it around on the driveway. But he's thinking that he's involved, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, and all of a sudden it hit me again. And not only am I standing in my dad's yard, but I'm also standing in his yard 20, 30 years in the future, And I see him doing the same thing that I'm doing, and I'm proud of him. And so somehow, in this crazy moment of mystery, in a very real sense, my dad and my son are both with me, past, present, future, all coming together. It's a moment that I can't really describe. And I think you've probably had moments like that before, right? They may happen around a Thanksgiving table, or maybe it's under a Christmas tree, or maybe it's the day that you remember somebody that you lost, that you love, or maybe it's the birth of a grandchild, or maybe it's the birth of your first child, and all of a sudden something profound happens, and you can't explain it, and it's not like you prepared for it, it's not like you amped yourself up for it and got ready, oh, here we go. It just happens to you, and there's a very real moment of mystery that happens. That's what the story that we're experiencing tonight that Heather read for us is all about. This story in Luke 24 is a story of a moment of mystery. Cleopas and his friend, we don't even know who the friend is. There's no name. Some scholars think that it may have been Cleopas' wife, so it could have been Cleopas and his wife. They're leaving Jerusalem and they're walking home. Jesus is dead. He's gone. Some people have started this crazy rumor that his tomb was empty, but they can't quite get their minds around it. And so think about this for a minute. Cleopas and his companion are walking down the road and they're going, look, peace, we're done. This has been great. We've given our lives to following Jesus for the last few years. It's been wonderful and all. The teaching of Jesus is great. But if he's gone, if Jesus isn't with us anymore, if his presence isn't here, what's the point? Why are we even doing this? Why should we even stay here and try and figure this out? I'm going home to try and figure out how to put the next steps of my life together. And does that sound familiar for us tonight? Because I feel that way a lot. And I think you probably do too. That sometimes you may walk in this door or you may open your Bible and you just look at this and go, what's the point? What are we doing? We do this every single week. We read the teachings of Jesus and we follow them and it's great. But if he's not here, if he's not like really here and able to answer my questions and help me just like he was standing here in the room, what's the point of the whole thing? I'm going to go home and just try and figure out how to live my life. And so the answer to that moment is this incredible moment of mystery. Jesus meets them on the road. They don't recognize him at first, but they begin talking. They start to really get to know this person and go, man, this guy's great. Hey, come stay at our house. It's getting late. It's getting dark. Let's have dinner together. And where do they come? To the table. Just as Jesus always does, they show up at a table and Jesus takes a piece of bread and he breaks it. And as soon as he breaks that bread, there's a powerful moment of mystery and they realize we are in the presence of Jesus. We're in the presence of Jesus. It's real. He's here. It's not just teachings. It's not just some, you know, idea that we kind of follow and say that we live our lives by. He's standing here with us. And as soon as they realized it, he was gone. He disappeared from their sight. It was this crazy moment of mystery. And it was so profound and so impactful that Luke says they left. They left the table, left everything sitting there, went outside the door of their house and ran all the way back to where they had just come from. They walked miles to their hometown. It's the middle of the night and they leave their supper on the table, go out into the street and run all the way back to Jerusalem. This is not like, okay, well, we'll go to sleep and think about this, and then we'll figure out what to do with it in the morning. This is a powerful, powerful moment. And so for us, I think this helps us understand a little piece of what I mean when I say that the Eucharist is a meal of mystery. Because when we come to the table, we experience a very living and real moment of mystery, just as those two people did on the road to Emmaus. The Eucharist in the Anglican Church, okay, I'm going to get a little technical with you, okay, if that's all right. But in the Anglican Church, which our church is a part of, the Eucharist is one of our two sacraments. We only have two sacraments, baptism and communion, or the Eucharist. And a sacrament, that you may have heard all kinds of different things about this, but it's really simple to understand. A sacrament is just a sacred mystery. It's something we don't understand. In some crazy, mysterious way, God interacts with something here on earth, something physical, something we can touch. In baptism, it's water. In the sacrament of communion, it's this bread and this cup, and God somehow, in some crazy, mysterious way, interacts with it to do something very real and profound in our lives. And so in this sacrament, in this moment of mystery that we call the Eucharist, we believe that something bigger happens than just a history lesson or just a guilt trip. We believe in something called the real presence of Jesus. That when we come to the table, Jesus is really present. His body and his blood are here. And we are privileged enough to meet with him and to actually, in some crazy way, consume and be united with the person of Jesus as we come to the table. Now, how does that happen? Okay, somebody's probably raising their hand going, okay, how does that happen? I have no idea. I have no idea how that happens. It's not transubstantiation, if you've ever heard that word before, okay, where we ring a little bell and all of a sudden we believe, poof, you know, somehow this isn't bread anymore. It's actually physically flesh. We don't believe that. It's still bread. It's still a cup, but it's more than just bread in a cup. It's something mysterious. It's something that we can't explain. It's something that we can't describe. Now, that sounds a little crazy, okay, right? Like, that sounds nuts. That sounds like we're going to come to the table and we're going to take body and blood. Like, that sounds really, really weird. Why do we believe that? Well, we believe that because it's what Jesus said. If you look in John chapter 6, verses 53 through 56, he said this, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. So we're back to the question that Bishop Todd asked us last week. When Jesus said this, was he just crazy? When Jesus said this, was he just out of his mind? Like, do we just hear this and go like, oh, that's really nice, Jesus. That's kind of pleasant. Like, we'll just kind of set that to the side. We don't really know what to do with that. Or was he brilliant? Did he really mean this? Is this something that Jesus really intended for us to understand? When Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke says at the table, "This is my body and this is my blood," was he serious? Did he really mean that? Or was he crazy? Was he just totally out of his mind and we just kind of say, okay, Jesus, that's great. We'll put that on the side. The early church actually took this really, really seriously. Okay, the first Christians, when they took communion, they took this so seriously, in fact, that one of the biggest accusations of the early church was that they were cannibals. Did you know that? Have you heard that before? People thought that Christians were crazy because they thought they were cannibals because they said they were eating flesh and drinking blood. They took this very seriously. So seriously that people were willing to die because other people didn't understand it. Because they thought that it was the real presence of Jesus. Now, again, how is it possible? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm okay with that. Some of you are not okay with that. Some of you are going to want black and white answers like, no, really tell me, like on a molecular level, is it bread? I don't know. And that's okay. If you want black and white answers, that's totally fine. We can walk down that road. I can point you in the direction of some answers. But at the end of the day, this is one of those questions that when we try to answer it and we try to solve it, we mess it up. When we try to figure it out, and we try and put all the pieces scientifically in place, we mess it up and we miss the mystery of what Jesus is providing for us. Because the powerful nature of this is the fact that every time we come to this table, Jesus is here. Every time he's here. I was a worship leader for many years, and so people used to always tell me, Eddie, you just lead us into the presence of God. Have people ever told you that? Usher in the presence of God. And here's the thing. I get it. It totally, like, I know exactly what you mean. And if you've said that to me, don't feel weird about that. I totally get it. But it always makes me feel a little bit weird because I think, how do I do that? Do I sing How He Loves and Revelation song and like hop on one foot and like say a few special worship leader words and all of a sudden, whoom, God's presence is here. And I'm just like, yes, I am the man. Is that how I do it? No, because sometimes I will lead worship and people will just walk away and go, oh my gosh, God's presence was so real. I could sense God's presence. And sometimes I lead worship and people go, hey, great job, man. Thanks. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Did I not get it? Did I not get it right? And maybe that's frustrating for you too. Maybe you come into worship and you think that every time you come here, when you sing, you've got to have this rapturous moment where the walls shake and you see the face of Jesus. And sometimes that happens and it's amazing. But it's not going to happen every time. In fact, it's probably not going to happen most of the time. Most of the time, you're going to come and you're going to sing, and it's a good thing to do, to join with the body of Christ. But you're not going to sense that presence of Jesus. So what in the world do we do? When we need to find the presence of Jesus, and we need more than just teaching, and we need more than just the words of Jesus, we need to actually encounter the real living Jesus, what do? Well, the answer is you can't do anything. Jesus has to do something in you. And one of the ways that he does that is when we come to the table. And this is what I love about it, and this is what I want to hammer home to us tonight. Because no matter how you feel tonight, Jesus is here. No matter what you're dealing with spiritually, whether you are on the highest mountain and you just are in love with God and you are as close to God as you can be, or whether you are mired in the depths of your sins and you feel this weight of guilt that's huge, Jesus is here for you tonight. He's here. And whether you feel it emotionally, whether you're like a super emotional person and you just sense God and worship all the time and you love it, or whether you're the person that looks at that person and says, you're kind of crazy and I don't really understand that, Jesus is here. He's here every single time we come to the table. And life in this world is difficult. The life that God's called us to live is hard. The task that Jesus has called us to is impossible without his presence. And at the table, we find his presence. And we find the nourishment that we need. Just like bread and wine can nourish us in our bodies, we can find the spiritual nourishment that we need just from sitting at the table with Jesus. So a question I want to ask you tonight is, if when we break the bread tonight, if you saw Jesus tonight, what would you do? What would you do tonight? If I took this bread and broke it, and when it broke, Jesus was standing right here, what would you do? What would you say? What question would you ask? What's the thing that's going on in your life that you would want to kind of set in front of him and say, hey, can I get 10 minutes with you just to talk to you about this? What would you do if Jesus was standing right in front of you? Tonight, for some of us, you may be filled with joy and you may be so excited and you're just like, you're overjoyed. I know people have gotten some great news this week in our community and I love it. And so for you, come to the table tonight and meet with Jesus and just tell him thank you. But for you, if you feel like Cleopas and you feel like that person that's walking down the road going home because you're like, look, I'm done. I'm done with the idea of Jesus. I'm done with the church. I've been burned and I'm tired of it. I'm done with my marriage. I'm done with my kids. I'm done with school. I'm done with my job. If that's you and you're walking on that road back to your house, come to the table tonight because Jesus is here. And whatever it is you're carrying, he knows exactly what you need. And tonight, the crazy thing is that you can take it in your hands and you can taste it in your mouth with bread and the cup. The Eucharist is Jesus's meal of mystery, memory, and mission. And tonight, I want us to celebrate the mystery that Jesus is here and he's present with us. Let's pray together. Patrick, if you'd come up and play. Lord, I pray that somehow that your words have spoken tonight and done some kind of justice to the magnitude of the mystery that we experience at your table. It's huge. And I can't wrap my mind around it. And thank you, God, for that. Can we just say that tonight, Lord? Thank you that there's something here when we come to worship that we can't explain. If we could explain it, what's the point, God? If we could explain it and put it all in a document and say, this is exactly who God is, then what kind of God are we serving? God, thank you that your presence is beyond words. It's beyond description. It's this crazy mystery that can wrap us up tonight and bring us into the incredible experience of your presence. And so, God, I pray for each of us tonight. We may not feel it. We're probably not going to feel anything different tonight as we come to the table. But I pray that somehow in our souls and in our spirits that we would begin to see with faith tonight that you're here and you're with us. And so whatever it is that we're bringing to the table tonight, I pray that we would come and we would sit in your presence tonight. And as we take this cup and we take this bread, that we would be totally amazed and astounded that you're with us. And all these things we ask in the name of you, our Almighty Father, and in the name of your Son who is with us tonight through the power of your Spirit. Amen.